How would you like to be able to travel the country for free? How would you like brands to be able to pay for those experiences? On today's episode of Tube Talk, we discuss all of that, plus how to get verified on Instagram and Facebook. Yep, we even dive into that, as well as creating viral content and creating amazing, amazing experiences for you, for your audiences, and building up your channel. If that sounds good to you, well, then you're definitely in the right place. Let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I'm a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. One of the big niches on YouTube is the travel niche. Now, whether it's a solo person with a backpack or a family traveling in their RVs, we love to go with them for a ride and we're grateful that they're taking us with them. And the more that we travel with them, the more that we go through those experiences with them, the more we connect. And one of those amazing families are the Jurgis. And today, I've got the dad, Bryce Jurgi, who's here with us. Welcome to Tube Talk.
Thank you. Pumped to be here. Pumped to finally this epic podcast be part of it.
Excited to have you. We know we've been trying to get it together for a while. Just life happened and travel has happened. And then the world got shut down around us and COVID happens. But hey, we made it in the end.
We did. Now there is no excuse keeping it from happening.
All right. So for those who don't know your channel, how would you describe it in a tweet?
Awesome. So we are an adventure lifestyle family. So, or an adventure travel family. We not only seek travel experiences, but mostly adventure experiences to create lasting memories and moments with our family. The reason we exist, that's already over the character limit, but we exist to inspire others to adventure more with their friends and family. And a medium that we do that is through travel, because there's always adventures when you travel. Things will always go wrong. Things will always be better or worse than you expected. And you're always closer with the people when you have these inside jokes and inside experiences. And so we use the vehicle of traveling to get people to adventure more with their friends and family.
Okay. It's a little bit more than the characters, but it definitely rounds up the story. So we're happy to accept it.
Thank you.
So Bryce, when you say family, how many of you are there? What's the makeup of the family?
Yeah, there's 3.5. We are expecting a baby any week now. So soon to be 4 of us, my wife, Nellie, our little girl, Evelyn, and another little girl. We haven't decided a name yet.
Wow. Awesome. Okay. So you started uploading how long ago, would you say?
We started uploading in 2016. So
okay, but
almost 4 years ago. Yeah. Wow. It was August 2016.
Okay. So it's coming up to your anniversary soon.
Yeah. Yep.
And what made you start uploading content to YouTube?
Yeah. So I was working at a creative agency. We were making essentially viral videos for brands like Pepsi, Pizza Hut, AT&T. I loved it. It was going really well. And Nelly, my wife, was working at a law firm. One day I was in LA on a shoot and I got a call from her. She was in tears and she was getting more tests done that they were scanning for breast cancer. And it was like a few days shoot. So I was gone for a little bit. Nice. And she said, everything's like, I'm okay, but this is what's happening and I'm going to be finding out results. And so I came home. We were able to work things out where I got home. And during that week, while we were waiting on results, sometimes I'm hesitant to show this because the outcome is so much worse for many people. But during that time, there's just a lot up in the air, you know? And I was always filming anyway, while we were dating and we started to get pretty serious. I would just pull my phone out and film and say, hey kids, check out what your mom and I are doing, like kind of joking, you know? And I I love making videos. And so I was just kind of, anytime I had time, I was doing that. And we had some friends say, you guys should do a YouTube channel because you're just fun. But Nelly wasn't for it. She's like, I don't want to have that pressure of doing things for others to see. I just want to keep doing our own thing. But during that week, we had a lot of serious conversations, even with other people and just with all the unknowns. And she realized, man, there's a lot of people that don't really, they're not living life how they want to. And here we are, you're doing well with this agency. I'm with this law firm. Things are going great. But like that, it can change. We really should make sure we're doing an adventure like every week. And so she's like, but not only that, I really want to like inspire others to do that. So if we're just honest, because we don't even know what my test results are, let's just do this and just make the most out of life. And then like, it's even a little more sad. She said, plus I want you to have the memories, whatever happens to me. And I was just like, okay, one, I'm excited to make more videos with you and have these memories. And I really love the idea of inspiring others to adventure more. And so our first video was just, we just turned on the camera right there and shared that we're waiting on results. And
oh wow.
We'll see what happens. And then we made sure that we always planned something to do every week. And we would, it gave this kind of fun incentive to film it, but also film it in a way to hopefully when people watch it, they're like, yeah, I want to go have fun with my friends or my family. So that's why we started.
Okay. You know, most people say we just had a fun trip, but you have a different story.
Yeah. I guess to add to that too, Nelly wanted, like our goal was when people watch a video that they do something about it, that they make some plans between watching our videos to go travel. And so another thing that we thought would be cool is let's not only travel, but let's hide geocache treasures wherever we are. So we're like, hey, here we are doing a whitewater rapids thing, or we're rock climbing in this national park or whatever. And then in a place that we have permission to, we can hide this geocache. And if someone finds it, we'll mail them something cool. For starters, we don't know what we'll send them, but we'll come up with something. And then that's led to where now we provide all of these free excursions or products or experiences if you find the treasures. Because like now when people see a video and we show a clue to where we hid one of these geocache treasures, it's found within hours. And it really literally gets someone off their couch or out of their house to go on some type of adventure looking for it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, people think of travel, you always think of, oh, it must be out of state, or it must be out of the country, or it's got to be a big thing that's going to cost me hundreds and thousands, and I've got to really save for it for an entire year. But that's not what you're referring to when you say travel.
No, that's a part of it. But no, yeah, that's one thing I'm excited about with one silver lining from this quarantine time is that people are looking more into what's in their own backyard. And there really is so much within a drive wherever you are. And so, yeah, any type of, even that is travel in our book.
Yeah. And getting, I think a lot of us are in a routine and life happens and you blink and a month has gone by and you actually really haven't done anything besides get up, go to school, go to work, come home, rinse and repeat. Whereas this is sounding different. This is more about, I went to a national park and I had a picnic in the park. We can do that. It doesn't have to be this big production every single time.
Yeah. We've gotten a few messages that have stuck out to us these last couple weeks, actually, where some parents have said, or even just young people have said, like, man, it's crazy. Now that I've had time to just kind of sit and get bored or like my whole world's been flipped and I am trying to find income and whatever. They said, I've realized that 8 years just went by like that.
Yep.
And here I was thinking I was doing the things I wanted to do, but now all of a sudden I'm 8 years older or my kids in high school or in college. And so we're now going to take more initiative. Because you're right, we do just get in this pattern where it just breezes by.
Rinse and repeat.
Yep.
Now, thinking back on your channel, is there any particular video that really stood out for you And it may not be the one that got you the most exposure or the most views or the most subscribers.
I've had a lot just flash before my mind as you're asking that.
That's a good thing. That means you had lots of good memories.
Yeah. When we, I don't know. Well, I thought of another video that we haven't even uploaded yet. But I don't know if you have any of those where you've made them, but you're like, not yet.
Not yet. It hasn't been released yet.
I think so we did this little series that is pretty dear to us where we're like, okay, if we're going to be doing these adventures, we were doing a lot of stuff in our home state at the time, which was Utah. And we're like, let's do more. So we, just because we had started uploading these videos, we got in touch with another couple, another family, the Ohana Adventure. And then through them, Richie and Natalie Norton. And they were a family that was traveling at the time. They were doing a lot of things, but they were on this epic road trip and they invited us to join with them. They just come from the East Coast. They made it all the way to Utah and then they were going on the West Coast from Mexico to Canada. And so we actually rented a car because our car wasn't good enough. We went down to Mexico and we car camped / slept outside. And most nights we didn't know where we were going to park or sleep, but we would just drive up the coast and up Highway 1. It was amazing. We got attacked by raccoons one night. we'd made this series from Mexico to Canada, and we hid. That was when we first started hiding treasures outside of our state that we were so excited about. And we thought, oh, this is going to be so fun. We're hiding in these epic locations. And none of the treasures were found for 8 months. There was just not a peep. And it was I thought that was a cool idea, but we didn't have much followers at all. And so that was it. But then we actually went to the East Coast. We were pitching a company. We went for a trip, but then we also thought it was a good partnership. And so we got a meeting with this company. And the night before that meeting, we're just sitting on the bed in our hotel room, just kind of checking our phones on in emails and stuff. And then I got a notification from Facebook where a mom had found one of our treasures. She hadn't yet. She posted and said, I just came across this adorable couple, is what she said, who goes on these random adventures and hides treasures. And there's one 2 hours from our house. I'm thinking of waking up our kids and driving to go find it right now. And she was asking her friends and she tagged our page. That's how I saw it. Then 3 hours later, she uploaded this video of them finding the treasure and her kids are just freaking out. They're loving it. They could barely read it because it had been rained on and, it had been a while. And this treasure was found. And then it just started to snowball. One of her friends saw we hit another one in Washington. They traveled 10 hours to go find it.
Wow.
Another friend go find one on an island in Southern California, and the treasure box was all moldy. And so just it was precious to us because that's when we were purely uploading just because we're like, what if this inspires one person? And we weren't very concerned on reaching the hundreds of thousands. It was just pure, raw, authentic, maybe this will cause a change for someone. And I don't think much excitement has topped the excitement we felt that night when that family went looking for that one.
Brilliant.
Because it was just one random family, but it was exactly what we were hoping to create from our channel, and it happened.
Wow. It validates everything.
Yeah, exactly. It was that was awesome. Let's keep doing it now.
Let's do more. Do you remember at the time how big your channel was?
Less than 1,000 subscribers. We had hundreds of followers. That was it.
Okay, hold up. We got to put a brakes right here. For everybody listening who keeps on moaning that their channel isn't big enough to have a following and isn't big enough to do a brand deal and isn't big enough to do epic things, let this be a lesson. I keep telling you, if you've got a community, you've got content, you've got people that love what you do, you can make a difference. And here is another example, yet again, of a channel with less than 1,000 subscribers having this much impact. I had to highlight that. I couldn't let you skip over that. That is awesome. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
You also mentioned you started speaking about a company that you were going to go pitch them. It kind of aligned with what you were doing. Can you take us through, like, what is that like? Like, how did you know this was a good company? What gave you the confidence to approach them? What were you offering?
First of all, we wanted to, yeah, like you brought that up. We wanted to align with someone that we felt like, hey, we would be friends. If this company was a person, they'd be my best friend. The things they stand for, the things that they are, like what they're all about, like that's something that I'm behind. It fits with our brand. We wanted to, early on when we were starting, more important than maybe part of it too was because we didn't feel like we could get paid high dollars. So we weren't like, let's go after the ones who will pay us the most, because we didn't feel like we could ask for a lot up front in the beginning. But you still can, and I'll touch on that. But like, okay, who aligns with our brand? What are they about? And one thing that you'll find is every brand out there, they need content, whether they're creating it themselves or through other people or outsourcing, they need to tell their story online. And if you approach them and say, hi, I love your story, I love what you're about, I want to tell that story, we're pretty similar, and all you have to do is blink. Like, you don't have to, I'm going to do it all, and I'm going to bring more traction to you, and this is how we align, this is why it's going to be good, this is why it'll bring traction. Because even if, like, if you're only focused on view counts, you're missing the bigger picture of, you're still putting up a link that draws attention to them. So it's building credibility on Google, if we're talking technicality stuff.
Yes.
And you know more about that, but even just you're telling their story in an authentic way. They don't have to do anything, and all of a sudden you're now introducing them to your friends, and they're in your inner circle. That is hard to put a value on. I think initially, especially for those who are just starting out, if you take the approach of finding where their story is headed and is yours, if yours aligns, use that angle more than like your reach.
Nice.
And show how you're basically just, you're going to bring more authenticity to them by working with them. And at first, maybe it's things for trade, but then that could be an inch, be like, we'd love to start, like, I'm a fan of long-term relationships. So if it's someone that you're like, oh, I'll just do one thing, I don't ever want to work with them again.
Right.
That's fine, I guess, but you're expending more energy than you need to, because it always takes a bit to get started. But if you can establish those long-term relationships, maybe they start off with just doing things for trade, but then it leads to financially beneficial for both.
Oh, that's great advice, because remember, you're approaching a brand, they don't know you yet. And
yes,
maybe you don't have those big numbers that traditionally they would be just happy to do work with. So maybe it's got to start somewhere. You want to start dating, you know, before you get married, you got to go on a date. So
yep.
You know, start slow. Start with I will just let you know, we shouted you out in this video. We love your stuff. We lots of things that align together. Maybe then you go on date number two, they send you a product. And then maybe date number three, you start saying, doing longer term campaigns.
To add to that too, like, I had a friend that he had just over 1,000 followers on Instagram, and was being paid up to $8,000 per 1 minute of video.
Yikes.
And the conversations, they didn't care about how many followers, because it was more about the content and the stories that he was creating. But here's what you can add in, is you can say, here's what we're going to create and post on our channels, but also for this rate, I'll license that content to you, so you can use this for your own ads. And so you're basically replacing or fulfilling their need for a content creation. So let's say they already have a production team. Well, you're just adding to it. So you're like, I'm giving you a commercial, and you can use it for whatever you want. But for that to work, you have to be able to make the type of quality that they want, right?
Of course.
And sometimes they do just want cell phone videos for pure authentic reviews. So that's where you can make money. If you don't have the reach up front, you can license it. And we've leveraged that like crazy in the beginning. And that was able to fund a lot for us. So.
Oh, that's brilliant. Because remember, when we think brands, a lot of us, our minds immediately go to the big brands, you know, the Fortune 50 or the Fortune 500 companies. And maybe they do have a production team, and maybe they do have big budgets, but they've also got big teams as well. But what about the other companies, the other brands, which are in maybe the medium range? They still need the same exposure. They still need content, and they do not have an internal team, but they still have the money to spend to get good content. I love that idea of licensing content. You're shooting it anyway, overshoot, and maybe license that back to the brand at an additional rate, or is a different rate, or maybe it's a value add that you give it to them to build goodwill so they'll work with you in the future. There's lots of ways to kind of slice this, but thinking about return on investment for the brand is got to be key.
Yep, exactly.
And you've traveled to how many states now?
We've done all 50. I guess we could say we've pretty much lived in all 50 because we did it via motorhome and spent time. But yes, we've traveled all 50 states now.
It must have cost a small fortune to do that though, right?
So we actually recently uploaded a video about this on our YouTube channel, but it was just over $2,000 a month, which is, I mean, for most people that we're talking with, they're spending more to just staying at home. That was like our total cost. That was covering our living expenses, our insurance, our food. And we did leverage our YouTube channel. If we wanted to do something insane, we would say, hey, this is insane. We love what you guys are about. We would love to make a video about it. Can we work together? And so whether it was for trade or they would pay. So that did help. But
that's great. But again, that's a great tip, is that if you're going somewhere that you could potentially offer the experience in exchange for coverage, why not? Reach out to the company, find their contact details, be prepared for a lot of no's, and that's part of the journey. That's just, it is what it is. But make sure that you over-deliver. It's always what I like to advise people. There's so many people who want stuff for free, and the brands are very wary of those people. Don't be those people. and give some more, and give some more, and give before you ask. And then people are being much more likely to work with you versus, hey, I'm coming to your town. I need 7 nights stay at your 5-star resort. Well, who are you? start somewhere. So just as a matter of interest, people who are thinking of this whole travel lifestyle, you did it with your wife and daughter. And how old was she when all this was happening?
So when we first started traveling, we 4 years ago. So our daughter's 2 now.
Right.
So we were traveling for 2 years before she was born. Once she was born, we got antsy again because we're used to being on the move. And literally days after she was born, I was going to RV lots looking at RVs. And we bought one and we left. We bought one when she was 2 months. We remodeled it and left when she was 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And so props to Nelly. For all of that.
Crazy. So it's possible. I mean, people say it's not possible to travel with little kids. They won't let you do anything. And I always find that to be weird. I love traveling with my kids. And even we used to do it when they were baby, and the older they get, it just becomes different. But experiencing something for yourself versus learning about something from a textbook or an online website is completely, completely different.
A huge difference. Invaluable. Yeah. I mean, all we have to compare to, like, she's our only child right now, and then we have another one soon. But no one else to compare it to, but we feel like, what she got used to is just being with mom and dad wherever and seeing new faces on the daily. Mm-hmm. And she is very aware of how people are feeling. And how, like, if we're in a room, if someone's quiet, she finds that person first, even just as a 2-year-old, and wants to go over and talk to them. And she's just always down for new things. Like our good friends Garrett and Jess from the Bucklist family, Jess said it good once, where she was like, having a routine is very nice, like having your kids on a very routine of here's nap time, here's bedtime, they always bath, then we read this book, we sing this song, they go to bed. It works like a charm until you don't have that routine anymore. And then it can be a difficult transition. But then they get into the routine of, hey, it's always moving. And like, kids are so malleable. They can get used to anything as long as they feel loved.
So don't let that be an excuse, in other words.
Yes. Yeah.
But, well, and even as you said earlier, it's the mom that found, you know, was going to wake up her kids at whatever time of day or night it was, just so they could have that adventure together. That's priceless.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you kind of, you're not doing this traveling thing, you're growing your YouTube channel. I see you even got verified on Instagram, and you don't have, you know, a million followers on Instagram either. We need to pick your brain on how you managed to do that.
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. You know, what's funny is after we got the verified check mark, we had quite a few messages of like, hey,
who do you know?
How'd you sneak this in? Or like, who was it inside? Who's your inside person? And we were like, being totally transparent with you, no one told us we were going to get the Instagram check mark. We just woke up one day and Nelly, like during breakfast, she's like, we're verified. It's like, no, we're not. And there it was. We did talk to someone about getting the Facebook one, and that came first. But what helped with that, am I okay going into this?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, this is right. Okay, yeah, I didn't want to go on a tangent. But yeah, so it's not like how many, based from our experience, it's not based on how many followers you have. It's not finding someone as an inside person to give you that verified check mark. But like, is there even a purpose? Like, why would your page need to be verified? So because here we were doing these travel videos. And as you mentioned in the beginning, there's so much content out there about traveling. And it's not always a, like, there are searchable topics, but like, sometimes it's hard to have a travel video just because you're showing a place go viral. It is. And so we've also mixed in other videos that were like, okay, 100 layers was trending. So we did a 100 layers video that got almost 3 million on YouTube. And on Facebook, though, it's had over 100 million views. Hmm. And that wasn't on our page. But when we uploaded the video, we knew that it was a shareable video that people would be likely to tag their friends in it. So shortly after that video was uploaded, we reached out to a lot of large Facebook pages like Unilad, Lad Bible, Little Things, tons of these Facebook pages, and said, hey, we have videos, like this is a video that could be a very good shareable video. If you're interested and you would like to upload it on your platform, we can work out some licensing there. And we realized that was a thing once one of our first videos started to pop on YouTube, is when I surprised Nelly with a bunch of puppies. Shortly after that went live, we had tons of these pages email us and said, hey, we love your YouTube video. Can we post this on Facebook and we'll tag your page? And I was just like, you know what? And more important than trying to get views on my page to get like pennies off of AdSense,
right,
is to just build our brand. Because if we get our name out there, then these bigger companies are going to want to work with us. It gets our foot in the door anywhere we want. And so we gave licensing permission to tons of pages. We worked out deals with some. Like at the time, Facebook wasn't paying for views, so mm-hmm. there wasn't really monetary value there. But it was like, okay, if you watermark our logo into the video, if you pin our link at the first pin of the comment, and if you send traffic to us, make sure it's very obvious this is a Jurgis video. And when that happened, like multiple versions of that video, the 100 layers hairspray video we did, or the puppies one, each of them had like 30 million views. And so when that was happening, I had heard of a guy who was working at Facebook. And so through an old coworker, I just said, hey, do you mind asking him, like, is this like a good time now when our page could be verified? Because right now, literally, I can go and find over 30 pages that have uploaded the exact same video.
Nice.
And it's our video, and people are saying the Jurgis, and we want people to know who the Jurgis are. And so he said, you know what, I'll put in a word, I'll ask him. And he said, yeah, that'd be a good reason. And so the system sense changed now there's like, you can apply for it. And when you apply, that's actually one of the requirements, or one of the bullet points. I can't remember the exact terminology, but like, are there news articles about you, or is there is there credibility of why people might copy your page or why people would want to know who the actual page is. And so it was when our video was blowing up everywhere that we applied for the Facebook one and we got it. Then months later, our Facebook, I think, had like 20,000 followers. Our Instagram had like 7,000 followers. Then when our first baby girl was born, our Instagram jumped up to, I remember we just crossed the 10,000 follower mark, and then we had the blue check mark. And I don't think it was because of the, it's not because, 10,000, but
right.
We had a ton of articles again about us. And so we, to get that check mark, to kind of sum it up, we intentionally made content we knew other large Facebook pages would want to share. And we helped enable that sharing to take place so that our name was just all over the internet. Mm. And while it was all over the internet, that's when you should apply for it. So using large Facebook pages, not using them, but working with them.
Sure.
And then at the same time, when you have something like that taking off, creating content that will get news articles. So with our first baby, we honestly didn't know what we were going to name her. And she was due in March, and I love basketball and March Madness. So we made a March Madness bracket to name our baby. And we got hundreds of name submissions. And so we picked the top 64 that we liked and we put them in a bracket. And then we said, whoever like has the most accurate bracket of the names we pick. So we're like, you're not going to pick our baby's name. Sorry, right. Internet. We don't trust you that much.
We love you, but not that much.
Yeah. But if you can guess what you think we're going, like between Addison and Bailey, which name's going to beat that until we finally get to the final four and then the champion, whoever gets the best bracket or the most accurate bracket, we're going to send you something as big as our baby. Like that's what we said. And they got all these articles. And so now you have all these news stations writing about YouTube couples, ask the internet to name their child. You know, I love it. Like, so there's this kind of clickable title and they're all saying the Jurgis, they're all right. Linking back to our channel. And so now we have people who are searching on Instagram for the Jurgis. And that's what Instagram wants to do. They want to help people know it's the actual source. So when people type in Jurgis, it's difficult to spell anyway. You see the blue check mark and you're like, oh, this is them.
It's got to be that's them.
That's who they want to authenticate. So you don't want, it's not like a popularity check mark. It's not just to verify, oh, they're big and they're cool. So create content that everyone on the internet or news articles are going to talk about you, even if it's your local station. So if follow the local ABC 10, San Diego or Houston, Texas or whatever, follow that local news station and then look at what type of content they ever share that deals with YouTube. Make content that's similar, that still fits within your demographic and your niche. And then once you've made it, share it with them. As soon as they write about it, it's a small news station writing about it, send that article to bigger news stations. Say, hey, we thought this was really fun. In case you need a positive story to share, thought we'd send you this hot tip. And then it gets shared on 5 to 10 news stations. And then boom, that's when you apply for your verified checkmark. And they have actual proof outside of Instagram and YouTube, like, oh, people are talking about these guys.
This is great. I mean, that was the purpose of verification in the first place. People want to know who the original is. You know, they want to follow the right account. And that's what it was originally designed for. So with all those tips that you've given, you're almost creating a situation where people need to know who the original account is. So I love that idea of creating a buzz. Create the buzz, get your name out there. It will help you in your views anyway, but it's also going to help you in lots of other ways. So it's a great, great way of looking at things.
It's a great email intro too for a cold email to a brand. If you say, hey, big brand that we've always wanted to work with. I mean, or, you know, just, hey, so-and-so. I was told to reach out to you with what we're doing. This is who we are. You can see more about us in ABC talked about us here. And then you drop that link from the ABC news article. You don't have to say it was ABC local channel 10, but it was ABC news, NBC. And now all of a sudden it's like, you're with the big dogs. Like, oh, I don't care how many followers they have. They're being talked about. So it gets your foot in the door for intro emails as well.
Have you done lots of deals with lots of companies? Is there any kind of common denominator when you reach out to that company that you think, oh, okay, I've definitely got to say this, and I must remember to say this in every one of my initial outreach?
Great question. I've learned that they like to know what deliverables you can do for them. Like you said, that if you can make the ROI clear for them, most of the time when you're talking to a decision maker, they don't have a lot of time. And so I'm trying to answer this as succinct as possible for you, but we like to, if it's our initial reach out email, we like to share with them some specific deliverables that we would love to create for them because we love their brand and we love who they're about. And we purposely, this is where we go in knowing what are the deliverables we can offer that they'll love. And then that's where it becomes tailored to each brand, right?
Right.
A lot of them, we look at their Instagram feed and we're like, okay, they have a lot of great photography. We could take better photography for them. Mm. And so maybe it's not so much emphasis on posting on our feed, but we're going to give you 10 to 20 photos that you can have for your Instagram feed and use when you want. And they don't have to have our face on it. It could be for your product. It could be whatever.
Right.
So just as a rough example, that has nothing to do with our follower count, you know, and it's just looking at what is something we can offer them that they're like, wow, that actually would really help me right now. We also, but another thing we want to share is why we want to align with them. And we try to get at the deep core, because every brand, especially a decision maker for a company, they know what that company's core messaging is. What does our company stand for? They know that. And so if you can locate what that is and incorporate that into your messaging, like, hey, outdoor gear company, we love that you guys are doing this outdoor initiative and encouraging families to do this. That's similar to what we're doing right now. And this is why we want to partner. It's like, boom, you just put yourself intertwined right there. So if you can, similarly, like if people reach out to us, when brands reach out to us and say, hi, the Jergies, we love your YouTube channel. And they go on, I'm like, this is an automated email. But if they start the email and say, hey, Bryce and Nelly, I loved your last video about this. It made me think that I think we could do something great here. All of a sudden, I don't care as much about how much they're going to pay me. That's an important part, but I'm like, wow, these are my friends. Like, we could do something great here. They know who I am. And so if you can do the same thing when reaching out to brands, so say something about their core messaging and incorporate that into why you want to work with them. That helps a lot.
Yeah, I love the idea of looking at it the other way around, because we all get those. We all get those emails. Dear Sir Strike Madam, I have been a longtime follower of your channel, insert blog name here. And I've got these nail tips for your technology channel, because we know how much you love doing your nails. What?
Yeah.
Okay. delete. Yeah. But there are people who do take their time, and that you can see that they've done some research. They've got my name to start off with. They've referenced something that I've done in the past specifically, as opposed to being generic. And they're already offering something that could potentially work with my audience. I'm definitely going to give that a second look. And I suppose if I'm going to give that a second look because they took the time, well, when I reach out to brands, I must do the same thing to give the brand the opportunity to also look at my email and give it a little bit of time, as opposed to just delete. So... Great little tips right there. The one thing that you keep on bringing up throughout this whole conversation is that it's about the value. It's about your core value and the friends that you want to align with. And I suppose just like in real life, you want to hang out with certain types of people, and certain types of people are just not for you. So it's good to know that a brand works very, very similar. Have you ever turned down the deals where the wills didn't align? And I mean, it would have been great pay, but man, it just doesn't fit what we wanted to portray out there.
Yes.
And that's difficult.
It is. Yeah. Cause it's like, especially if maybe you have another dry week or so, you know, where you're like, oh man, our videos didn't do as well, or we thought this other brand was going to come through and it didn't, and we just turned down that one. There is that tempting thought of like, Okay, yeah, we might lose some authenticity, but this is gonna pay really well. But yeah, it's a much bigger picture than that. It is hard, but I found that it's always a better reward if you hold out. Because when you do jump on those, the big ones, I don't know, it's hard to gauge that, but brands want to go with people that are really authentic. So for example, we earlier on in our channel, this is when we had, I think we were coming up on maybe 40,000, 50,000 followers on YouTube. And so we were getting decent budgets in emails. We had just had a couple of videos go viral. And but then when things, so we had all these offers. And one of our videos that went viral was a 100-layer hairspray video. So it was about my hair. We had all these hair companies reach out. And like some were some really good offers, but it was like, nah, I would never do that. I'm not going to tell people your product helped grow my hair or whatever. And but we held out, and a little bit later, we actually had an agency reach out to us, and they said, hey, we're doing this campaign, and we need an adventure couple, and we love that that's your brand. Like they wrote out our brand
Right,
exactly, and they
right.
said, can we do this together? What would like how much do you need to make this happen?
Wow.
And it was one of those where I'm like, I know this is a really big budget and I don't want to mess it up by throwing out the offer. And I didn't even negotiate the best on my end, but it's and they still offer like they gave us way more than we were expecting, just because they needed that pure brand for the campaign that they were doing. And it actually won some awards that year too,
So, see,
which is pretty cool.
a natural win-win situation occurred. That's a natural
Yeah.
fit.
And the creative process was so much easier because they would be like, they came to us and said, can you give us one or two ideas? And we gave them a few and they're like, okay, we love all of those. Let's do it. Because we were already in sync. So
Right, exactly. It fits so nicely with what you were doing that it wasn't weird. You didn't have to break your heads to try make it fit. It just fit. Do you have any ideas, any tips, any resources that you can guide us into? How do I get into travel without it costing me an absolute fortune?
Yeah, we actually during this quarantine has pushed us to finish it even more. But we're about to launch a course actually titled "How to Travel for Free and Get Paid," because
Ooh.
there are ways, and it's a bold claim, how to travel for free. But there are lots of ways where you can travel for really cheap, if not free. Like even simple things of every year, Nellie and I, when we would fly back for the holidays to be with her family, we would purposely fly a day before we needed to get there, so that we could be the ones to give up our seat. And we would purposely fly during the few days that are really busy travel because it wasn't like a guarantee, but we knew, okay, if we go here and fly this day and we give up our seats, then that'll pay for our next flight as well. And we've done that 3 years in a row. And little things like that, to where also finding ways to work for trade, or like you can, there's so many networks where you can find people's homes in Italy and France and be like, hey, yeah, you can stay at my home for free for a month if you just feed my cat once a day. Like unique things like that to then clear strategies on how to make revenue based on traveling.
Okay, so now that you've teased us enough, how do we get access to this?
So if you go to thejergiuscourse.com/waitlist, then you can put in your email, and as soon as it's live, we'll let you know. We have a core group that's going through the course right now because we want to make sure it's really helping them and answering all their questions, and then we're going to release it.
Love it, love it, love it. All these will be in the show notes. So, in case you want any of these links, of course, we'll have it. And if people want to find you on social media or they want to find your channel, how can they do that?
Yeah, just at the Jurgis, THEJURGYS. So the Jurgis on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook.
Everywhere.
Yeah, hit us up everywhere.
All right, fantastic. Thank you again for spending time and giving us all these amazing advice and tips. And I love the fact that the root of this is travel, but it's about the experiences. So all these tips actually apply to lots of channels on YouTube, lots of creators. It's not necessarily just if you're a travel vlogger, can this benefit you? Brilliant, brilliant. Lots of nuggets of information. So thank you for sharing so freely.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks again for having me.
And for the rest of you guys still here, hit that subscribe button in your favorite podcast applications. Don't forget to leave us a review. Let us know who else we should be interviewing, who else we should be speaking to. And of course, don't forget to share this episode with at least one other creator that's maybe fumbling, maybe looking for inspiration or opportunities, doesn't know how to take that next step, or is so focused on that darn subscriber count that's preventing them from actually taking the next step that they need to. Please share this episode with them. At the end of the day, we're one happy creator community, and let's help each other out. I'll catch you guys on the next episode of Tube Talk. Cheers for that.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.